Can you hear me? Okay, good. I never know. So, well, how many took a nap today? Raise your hand. All right, so I know I won't put you to sleep, you know? I might have told you this story, but one that really helped me. I was about 1981 in Wisconsin, a little assembly up there, and I was preaching, and it was an evening service, only about 15 people in the whole meeting. And as I was speaking, I was talking to myself. In those days, I was able to do that. I don't know how, but I was talking to myself while I'm speaking. And I'm thinking, I'm really good. I mean, I'm really good. In fact, I think I have these people right in the palm of my hand. And I kept preaching away. Well, at the end of the meeting, I walked to the back. And as soon as I got to the back, there was a man laid out on the pew, snoring. Snoring. I looked up and I said, I'm sorry. We couldn't wake the guy up. I mean, I put him to sleep. So I never thought that way again, and I felt conviction. But I'm looking forward to this evening. I'm glad you had naps. That means I won't put you to sleep, hopefully, and we'll have a blessed time. When I was growing up in Cleveland, Ohio, my grandmother, and my grandmother spoke a language called Yiddish, and she spoke it with lots of people. Yiddish is a very common language among especially older Jewish people. Yiddish is about 80% German, probably about 10% Hebrew, and about 10% everything else. And my father and grandmother spoke to each other all the time. And when I was young, I was able to understand a fairly good vocabulary, at least in my understanding. But there are Yiddish words that we have in our language that you might have heard. For instance, have you ever heard the word schlep? Anybody ever hear that word schlep? Okay, that's a Yiddish word. Schlep. A schlep is a person who, well, if my shirt were out of my belt, and if my shoes were untied, and my hair was all messy, and I kind of looked goofy, that's kind of what a schlep is. Just kind of sloppy kind of person. And then we have another Yiddish word you might be familiar with, schlock. Schlock. Schlock is junk, stuff. Sometimes you might have, and I used to hear, oh, that guy, he's a schlep, and all he deals with is schlock. So a schlep dealing schlock. We have a word called kibitz. Kibitz means to chatter, to talk. We like to kibitz. Schmooze is a good word, real good word. Schmooze means, well, you know, we've been doing a lot of schmoozing. At least I have. You know, I go to various people's homes. They've asked me to come, and we eat. Then we sit around and we talk. We drink coffee or tea or water or whatever it is, and we schmooze together. It's a nice word. Those are Yiddish words. Some other words that have come into our vocabulary, actually expressions. Let me read a couple. I got these right out of a English dictionary. I need it like I need a hole in the head. You ever hear that one? That expression is actually a Yiddish expression that has come into our language. Or how about this? You got to say it in the right way, and I'm not good at that. But, oh, yeah, he's a regular genius. You know, when somebody's bragging, yeah, oh, yeah, he's a regular genius. Or it should happen to a dog. That's a Yiddish expression. Or you should live so long. That's another one. Or somebody's trying to sell something, and they're telling the person all the qualities of this thing, and the person just says, you know, is that all it does? And then finally he'll say, what, you want it should sing too? That's a Yiddish expression. But there's one particular word that I heard while I was growing up, and it's the word mensch. It's spelled different ways. In English, M-E-N-S-C-H is the way I spell it. Mensch. And in the German, Mensch means human being. That's what it means. A Mensch, a human being. In the Yiddish, it's much more important than that. The word Mensch, let me give you an idea. When I was in college, I was in college in the very early 70s. Very early 70s. You remember that period of time? People my age, the guys had long hair. We had beards. We looked kind of schleppy. We looked like real schlep. And I remember my father, when I was in high school, he said, as long as you're living in this house and as long as you're in high school, your hair is going to be above your ear, period. Okay. But he said, when you graduate, it's up to you. Okay. So I just went along with what he said, good obedient son. Off to college I went. I had no idea what a Nazirite vow was. Nazirite vow, you know, not a razor will touch my head. That's exactly what I did. I took no electric razor. I took no steel razor. I took nothing. And so, well, you really had trouble finding my face. Let me tell you. Wherever it grew, that's where it grew. So whether it was down or up or out, it didn't matter. So I came home on the first break that I had, and my mother saw me come into the house, and she said, why can't you look like a mensch? You don't look like a mensch at all. So about the next break, which was Christmas break, I surprised her, and I cut my hair, and I shaved my beard, and so she said, now you look like a mensch. And this, what I'd like to do this evening is to help you. I want you to become a mensch for Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not going to ask you to shave or anything like that. But I think as we look at these words, at this word, we're going to talk about what the keys to menschhood, to use an expression, would be. You know, the keys to menschhood are character, dignity, responsibility, and simply doing what is right. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, because there's three ways that you and I can become menches for Jesus Christ. Three ways, and Micah gives them to us. He says, he hath shown thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before God. The keys to menschhood, the way to become a mensch, are to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before God. Justice. Justice. Is there justice in the world? The word justice in Hebrew has the idea of a favorable verdict. The menches of the world are the ones that provide the world an example of justice. You know, I think we had demonstrated for us on September 11th the capabilities of human beings and how when put under the test as human beings came through and demonstrated qualities that we're thankful for. Certainly the greatest example of justice came through the person of Jesus Christ. Prophecy in Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9 says, rejoice, O greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, mercy, lowly and riding on an ass, humble upon the colt, the foal of an ass. Is there justice in the world today? You know, a few years ago, my mother and father went on a New Year's Eve to a Chinese restaurant. Very Jewish thing to do. They went to the restaurant, ate their meal, came out, and their car was smashed. I mean smashed. And not a note on it. So, you know, you call your insurance company and you tell them and you fix the car. Okay? 1 year later, they were at a different place. Parked the car. Came out. Car was smashed. Not a note on it. I mean, two times. Now, a year after that, I was at my folks' house with my wife. She was pregnant with our first child. They had a long driveway, long driveway. My wife turned to me at about 11 o'clock and said, I want ice cream. Now, some people think that's because she was pregnant. She likes ice cream no matter what time of year, but because she was pregnant, I got, okay, you want ice cream? I'll go get you ice cream. So I get in the car and that long driveway, I pull out the car and hit. I never saw the car. It was a black car parked. It was night. Never saw it. Never, just pulled out, hit the car. So I get out of the car, write my little note, you know, I'm across the street visiting my parents, I'm out of town, blah, 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 and stick the note there. And while I'm doing that, my mother comes out. It was a summer day. She comes outside and she said, get out of there. Just drive away. What are you talking about, Mom? I'm not going to. So I wrote the note, went and got what I thought would be the most expensive ice cream on the planet now that I broke this, hit this car. Come back. The next morning, the phone rings. Now, I'm on the third floor, and my mother is down in the kitchen. And we picked up, just so happened, we picked up the phone at the same time. And she talked first, so I didn't say hello. And she didn't know I was on the other line, and I stayed on. I cheated. I shouldn't have done it, but I did. And so I'm listening, and the woman says, hello, my name is so-and-so. I got the note from your son. What a wonderful son you have. I'm telling you, you know, great guy. I'll make it as easy as I can. It didn't do a lot of damage. And no problem. She said, yes, we did raise him to be an honest boy. You see, my mother had been burned twice. Twice. And she said, there's no justice in the... She never raised us that way. But she'd been burned. And she'd wondered, there's no justice in the earth today. And, you know, sometimes that's true. It seems as though people don't get what they deserve. And when we look at the Bible, in Deuteronomy 32, it says, he is the rock. It says, his work is perfect, and all his ways are justice, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Isaiah tells the Jewish people who are doing their own thing, wash yourselves, make yourself clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek justice. Isaiah says, the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those that wait for him. Isaiah says, I, the Lord, love justice. In Revelation 19, it says, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Certainly God is our great example. But you're going to have to forgive me, because I'm going to tell you something. That's absolutely true. But when your car gets smashed, and you get ripped off, you know God is perfect. You know God is right. But if we're human beings, we have to say, you know, it must be easier for you, God, because I'm having a hard time here. I'm having a real difficult time here. And so while there is biblical truth, and I would never discount that, ever, it is a fact. I know vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I understand that. But I'd like to give you some practical examples. These are real flesh and blood people, just like you and me, who encountered some difficult things, but yet were mensches for Jesus Christ. The first person, first example I have, is a businessman, a prominent businessman. I would tell you that his business, he was in marketing. Really good, really good. Very prosperous. Doing a wonderful job. And one of the companies that he had asked him to really devote almost all his time, although he's independent, had different clients, all his time, they had a big account. Oh, this was big. And as a result, he had to kind of let the other clients go, but certainly it was a wise business thing. This was going to bring in a sizable amount of money. And it would demand a sizable amount to expend in order to satisfy the client. That's the way it works. Spend money, you can make money. At least that's the idea of it. And so he was working on this deal with these folks and working right along. And they went chapter 11. I mean, all of a sudden, never told them. Now, he had a problem, a huge problem. He owed suppliers lots of money, and he was getting nothing from this client. He had a lawyer. The lawyer said, really, it's no problem. Just claim bankruptcy. Just claim bankruptcy. Said, well, I'm not so sure I ought to do that because I'm going to leave a whole bunch of people in trouble. So he went to the elders of his assembly. Very interesting. The elders hadn't really heard a story like this before, and there were a few of them. And several of them said, well, claim bankruptcy. That's all you have to do. Now, these were elders of his church assembly. And he just didn't feel comfortable with that. There was another man there that said, I'm not so sure you should do that, but you know, this is something that I've never encountered. I'm not really comfortable with that advice, but I honestly just don't know what to tell you. I think we just ought to pray about it, and I think you ought to ask yourself, how do you feel about this at this point? Well, he said, you know, I've been a Christian only a couple years, but there's something that just doesn't smell right to me about doing that. And so as he prayed about it, he felt, I am not going to claim bankruptcy. Now, you have to understand, he owed lots of money. I don't know if you've ever had financial trouble. I know who I'm talking to. You can identify with, boy, when you got financial trouble, you think you're the only one. It's kind of like, it's all on you. No one knows how I feel. I understand that. So you know what he did? Because he just had a conviction from God, he called all his suppliers, all of them. One by one, told them exactly what happened. They couldn't believe it. They couldn't believe it. A business guy telling them, look, I owe you money. I can't pay. Will you give me some time? I'll pay it back. No matter how long it takes, I'll pay you back. And do you know, he went out of business, got a job, and paid every one of those people back. I want to tell you something. That person is a mensch for Jesus Christ. He wasn't doing what was expedient. And in our society today, let's face it, even some Christians, when looking at a situation, might prefer to do what is expedient rather than what is right. Was it hard? Oh, it was hard. Was he a testimony? Incredible. These CEOs hearing this never heard anything like it in their life. So the Bible says we're to do justly. I'm telling you, he did what was just. The Bible says the second way we become mensches for Jesus Christ, we're to love mercy. Mercy. Mercy has the idea of kindness. Demonstrating kindness towards others. Demonstrating a love for God as we do something for someone else. Kind, favor, good deeds. Sometimes mercy is mercy. Nehemiah tells us that God is ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. Turn with me to Titus chapter 3, New Testament. Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, starting in verse 4. But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Titus tells us about kindness. Lamentations from the prophet Jeremiah. It's because of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. We know that Jesus healed the sick and cleansed the leper and raised the dead. All those things. When we think in terms of kindness, I'll tell you a story about another person. Real live person. This person was born into a family that were missionaries in Africa. Real family. First son was born while in Africa, actually in France, taking language training. And then they were in Chad for a number of years, and their second son was born. There was a problem in the birth. The boy was wrapped with a cord around his neck. He was pronounced dead. The father went home after a long ordeal. He and his wife spent some time in prayer, and he had to sign the papers, and off he went back home to get some rest, and the phone rang. "Sir, your son's alive." One of the nurses saw the baby and did mouth to mouth. Just felt she needed to do that, and he was alive. Alive. But there were severe problems. Terrible problems. Couldn't speak. He couldn't control his movements, never be able to walk. Confined to a wheelchair. He's an incredible man. Now, in fact, he's 35 years old right now. Anyway, the family went on, had another child, served the Lord in Chad, and did a wonderful job. The Lord bless him. Now they're in the States. In the meantime, this lad grew up, and when he was 18, started to collect Social Security because he's disability, and it is a severe disability. Mind as sharp as could be. Incredible mind. Can understand 5 languages. Is able to work today a computer, which is called CAD. Engineers use it, and his mind is it's just a quick mind. But this was a number of years ago. He would take a portion of his Social Security and put it to the side. And he told his dad, they were able to communicate through blinking of eyes, they had their own system of being able to talk, and they understood each other. And one day this young man heard about a missionary couple who were in need of an automobile. Also, the missionary couple were healthy. Well, they had needs like anybody else. But this young man had observed them, and he had put away money for a period of time, and so he told his dad, start looking for a vehicle that will meet this family's needs. And one day, that young man went with his dad, and they pulled up to the house of this missionary family with that car. And the father came to the missionary and said, I want to give you the keys to this car. This is yours. Missionary said, what is this all about? He said, well, my son has been praying and asking God. He does so after he accumulates some money. He wants to be able to give this to you. Now think about that. Just think. You live your whole life. At that time, probably 22 years. Your whole life. You never can speak. You never can do anything for yourself, ever. Now, some of you you have disabilities now, but think about your whole life. Never talk. Never can do anything yourself. And yet this young man planned to do kind deeds to other people. I want to tell you, I was the missionary. I stood there and wept like a baby. It's a tremendous thing. Kindness. I would tell you that that young man is a mensch for Jesus Christ. Doing things that you don't have to do, thinking outside of the box, willing to extend yourself for God. That's an amazing thing. So to be a mensch for Jesus Christ, we have to do justly, and love mercy. The third thing we have to do is we have to walk humbly before God. The word humble has to do with being gentle or abased. Now, you can't strive to be humble, or I'm humble and proud of it. Maybe you've met some of those people. You can't do that. You either are or you are not. And when we think in terms of the creator of the universe, who spoke the world into existence, in eternity past decided that he would come to planet Earth incarnate, and he would walk the planet. But he didn't come on the top end of his creation. He came on the low end. He was not the highest, but the lowest. Even when he was teaching, he washed his disciples' feet. Now think about that for one moment. The Creator becomes a baby. The Creator walks on the earth. The Creator puts on a towel and washes dirty feet. But again, that's an example of God. I mean, he's God after all. What about individuals? What about you and I? Well, I know a man. He was 56 years old. He was in the haberdashery business for a number of years. Good at what he did. Dapper looking person as well. You know, just wonderful salesman. Everybody loved him. He walked into work one day after 20, I don't know how many years with one company. And they said, see ya. Maybe some of you have experienced that. Whoa. 56 years old. See ya. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Who is going to hire a 56-year-old guy? No, it's tough out there. What am I going to do? It just so happened that I had a Bible study in that man's home. We had it every Friday. Well, he never called me, didn't let me know. So Friday, got in the car as I normally did and drove down to his place. It was a fair distance away. In Chicago, traffic the way it is, it couldn't, especially on a Friday night, it takes a long time to get there. Pulled up in his driveway and he was standing outside. I knew I was in trouble. He never did that. Something was wrong. He had a look on his face. I knew something was wrong. So I said, Jerry, you know, what's wrong? He said, well, I got a problem. He said, I'd like you to come with me. Would you pray with me? I had no idea what he was talking about. So he took me right to his bedroom. And he got there and he said, Steve, I lost my job. My job's gone. I got this mortgage. You know what he's got. We all got what he's got. So he's thinking, what am I going to do? And I'm saying, Jerry, why on earth didn't you call me? I didn't have to come. He said, oh, no. He said, I need this more than ever. Okay. So he said, but Steve, you know, I just need some words of encouragement. In my heart, I was laughing. Here's a 56-year-old man, and he's looking to me for encouragement. I don't have anything to tell him. Yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I don't have anything. I said, Jerry, I'll be glad to pray with you. Let's pray. He said, let me go first. Okay. Jerry, go first. And here's what he prayed. Very simple prayer. Lord, thanks. Thanks for all that you do for me. But Lord, I want to empty myself of myself. And I want you to fill me with yourself. Amen. Well, the guy just lost his job. He didn't pray for money. He didn't pray for a job. He just said, Lord, I don't want myself interfering with anything. I just want you. Now it's my turn. I got to close in prayer. Oh, the great Steve. What words is he going to have? Well, you know what I said? Amen. Amen. Think about it. What does the Lord require of you? To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before God. There is a church in Indiana that supports our work. From Friends of Israel's a faith mission. We rely on churches and individuals to support us in our work, and we're thankful for that. And there's one church, it was quite a large church, a Baptist church that supports our work. And I went into the pastor's office. Oh, you know, this church had 2,000 people. He had this big desk, brown, you know, walnut desk. I mean, 7 staff people. It was just huge. And so I'm talking to him, and, oh, you know, it's mind-blowing. So he said, Steve, I'd like to tell you something. You know, I'm the pastor of this church, and you saw the staff people. He said, you know, everybody on my staff, including me, is required 1 day of maintenance on the church each and every week. I said, oh, that's interesting. He said, I want to tell you what my job is. He said, I clean the bathroom to the entryway on the narthex of the church. And I said, well, why'd you're the one who picks them out. Why would you pick that one? He said, it's a fair question. You're right. I don't have to do it. Or if I do it, I can pick an easy job. But he said, you know, I never want to forget where I came from. Wow. I've never forgotten that. You know, some of you have been walking with the Lord a long time. Thank God. But I hope you never forget where you came from. You say, well, I was born in a Christian home. I got saved when I was 8, 9. All right? Think of where you'd be had not God placed you in that home. Think of what He saved you out of. Doesn't matter. You think back. A mensch for Jesus Christ. You know, there was a group in New York, at least it was headquartered in New York. The group is called Ralph, R-A-L-F. Remember the show The Honeymooners? Remember that show? Man, some of you are shaking your head, some of you don't. You're older than me, you should remember that one. I remember that one. But anyway, The Honeymooners, 39 episodes. Of course, it went off the air. Well, there was a group in New York that were very upset that it had gone off the air, and they wanted to make sure that they preserved this TV show. And so several of them got together, and they determined that we are going to uphold this TV program, we're going to keep it alive, and they started chapters. Within 3 years, from about 50 people, it became 3,000 people. 3,000 people for a TV show. Can you imagine? It's mind-boggling. Can you imagine what a few people could do who are concerned about the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who are concerned for a testimony for Him? If 50 people can keep an old program ever before the people and get chapters all around the country and go in a few years from 50 to 3,000, and that's for something that's not even real, what could we do if a few people determine each and every day, I want to be a mensch for Jesus Christ? I don't want to do what's expedient. I want to do what's right. I want to be the kind of person that God would be pleased to have. I want to go beyond myself to meet the needs of others. What could we do if we so committed to being mensches for Christ? And that's what I'm asking you today to be. Mensches for Jesus Christ. You know, Leo Tolstoy said this. Everybody thinks about changing humanity, but no one thinks of changing himself. That's very interesting. Our tendency is to look outside of ourselves, you know, we're right, they're wrong. I think that way, sometimes too often. You know, it's not me, it's them. They better change. Oh, I'm not budging. You know, a mensch is concerned with doing justice, loving mercy, and walking humbly before God, regarding others as better than themselves. By the way, that man, Jerry, 56 years old, asking God to fill him with him, with God, and to remove himself from himself, so to speak. Today, as he's about 72 years old, he's in what's called stewardship ministry, raising funds for an organization that sends workers to China. Thankful to the Lord that he took his job away at 56 years old. It's amazing. At the time, it looked bleak, but his eyes were focused on the King. And you know, you and I, in our situation, I don't know what your situation is, I know this. You're just like me. We got, in Yiddish, we have a word called surat. Surat. What's surat? Trouble. Oh, Jewish people, you say, hey, you got surat? Oh, you should know surat. And Jewish people kind of compete. You know, they'll say, well, you should have heard what happened to me. And something happens. Person, oh, that's nothing. You don't know surat. And then they tell you what happened to them, and they go back and forth. We all have surat. Financial, family, whatever it is, we've got it. But you know what? We ought to be disciplined or disciplining ourselves to take our minds off of us and think about others. You know, we're supposed to be like Christ. That's what he did. He stepped across the universe, came to the planet Earth. Why? For himself? For you? For me? Why? We had a problem. A major problem. Sin. We're doomed to be separated from God. God had a plan and a purpose and a way. And Jesus walked on the planet and he said, you know what? I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by me. So you might be here today and you have trouble. And maybe there's not one person in the world here, in this room, who can identify with your trouble. I don't know. It might be unique. But I can tell you this, God understands. And I can tell you this, in that trouble, maybe you ought to take your mind for at least a moment off your problem and talk to the King. Talk to the Savior. The one who knows pain, loneliness, suffering. The one who is willing to die for us. Maybe when we go through our difficulties, we ought to take our minds off ourselves and see what others are in need of doing. And instead of sitting around and saying, woe is me, and our people are good at that. I'm good at that. Maybe we ought to say, how can I help you? In my time of need, I want to help you. And be a mensch for Jesus Christ. I guarantee you, if we had that attitude, if just the folks here at Park of the Palms said, you know what? Today, I'm going to be a mensch for Jesus Christ. Today, I'm not thinking of myself. Today, I'm thinking of somebody else. Today, I want to do something. I want to be just. I want to walk humbly before God. I want to be kind. I want to demonstrate mercy. I think this place would be turned upside down for God. Now, I'm not being critical. You're all wonderful people. Boy, I told you, I got a wheelbarrow out of here because of the kindness. But I'm serious in saying, hey, we ought to think that way. I ought to think that way. Every single day. So I'm going to do something a little different. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, bow your head, and I'm not going to pray anything. I'm going to have it quiet. It's going to be quiet in here for just a few moments. Maybe this is a good time for some of you to say, you know, Lord, I've walked with you a while. We have a good relationship. I've tried. I know it's the Spirit of God that leads. You know, by God's grace, I want to be a mensch for you. Help me to be a mensch for you. To do justly, to walk humbly before God, and to love mercy. I'm going to just give a few minutes of quiet for you to do that, and then I'm going to close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we pause right now to give you thanks. Lord, we're thankful for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful for his love to us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Those are truths. Lord, we're thankful for your human examples, people who are regular people, flesh and blood, just like us. Not even the ones in the Bible, people that we can relate to, who determined in their difficulty that they were going to be a mensch for you, who decided to follow you regardless of the circumstances, who are going to think outside the box, outside of themselves, and think of another person, who decided, Lord, that they wanted to be filled with you, walk with you, regardless of what circumstances befall them. Lord, help us to be mensches for Jesus Christ. Lord, each one of us has our own little thing, things that we're concerned about, legitimate things, real things. And Lord, we realize that sometimes we don't turn them over to you. We try to handle them ourselves. But let us walk by faith and not by sight. And help us to be the kind of people that will be thinking of other people, concerned about them, anxious to minister to them, to do justly and love mercy and walk humbly before you. Lord, I pray for those who might be speaking to you in the quietness of their heart, asking you to enable them and help them. And I pray along with them and ask that you would indeed be the God of all comfort to them. Help them to serve you, maybe better than they ever did before. Lord, we can't do it in our own strength. We can't try to do just a bunch of good deeds thinking that we can get to you. We talked about that this morning, Lord. You know that. But we can yield ourselves to the Spirit of God and in doing so become transformed people, people empowered by the Spirit of God. It's not by might, it's not by power, but my Spirit, saith the Lord. We ask that you would strengthen us and help us by His strength. In the name of our Savior, amen.